I love when they play that song. I have a cassette tape of First Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas, 1945. J. Frank Norris built one of the great churches in this country and in Texas, and then he went to Detroit, Michigan, and he duplicated the same thing there that he did in Fort Worth, pastored two churches at the same time. Music like that right there is on that tape. That song, No, Never Alone, is played on that gospel, on that tape from a Baptist service in 1945. Now, what is that? How many years is that? Let's see. That would be 65 years later. In this church, the same music is being played. Amen. And that doesn't bother me. In fact, that thrills me. His church in Detroit, Michigan, is one of the ones that you will see on a video clip when I do that. Whenever I feel led to do this on a Sunday night, his church in Detroit, one you'll see on a video clip with the rock and roll, full-fledged rock and roll band playing in the church platform. You close your eyes if you ever were at a rock and roll concert before you got saved. It'll take you all the way back to when you were lost, and that's in the former Temple Baptist Church. Where J. Frank Norris. If you don't think music is important to a church, friend, it's vitally important. Vitally important. And we've had some good music today from the groups and the choir and the ladies and the instrumentalists. Thank you, folks. That's a blessing. It doesn't have to be funeral dirges to be church music. But it does have to be the right kind of music. And that's very good. All right, Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first four verses of Colossians chapter 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's going to be our text tonight. We're going to jump into this, and then we'll get into it. Ask the Lord to help us this evening. And let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word mentioned this morning. It was good to have Gina and Karina in the services this morning. And don't forget to ask the Lord's blessing on her as she goes to the college, and we'll pray for her, and we'll also pray for Tony tonight at the close of the hour as they start their college experience this week. Colossians chapter 4, let's read these, please, responsibly. Would you join me on the even-numbered verses? Paul writes, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Our Father, help us tonight, please, in your book. May it be that you'll come and grace this very simple message with your presence. I thank you, dear God, for the liberty to preach this morning, and not restricted or bound by the fear of man. God, your spirit was here. We need that again tonight. What we enjoyed this morning is not good enough for this evening. Please come back and bless us again. And we'll thank you for it. We need you. We're indebted to you. We're nothing without you. So please come in this service. Bless the music. Thank you for the good music we've enjoyed all day long. Bless this song and then our message in Christ's name.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. Who saved us and who kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
It's a blessing. All right, here we go. I want to speak for a little while. I want to major on verse number 2, and we'll talk about the passage a little bit. Paul wrote, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so just a little bit tonight on the subject of watch and pray. Watch and pray. All right, let's ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that glorious place called heaven. Thank you, God, that we will be there with you. Help us to live so that we can enjoy that wonderful land and all eternally set, Lord, to enjoy it. I pray that you'll bless our message tonight. We look forward, God, to the time of prayer this Friday night. We pray that you'll please come and grace us with your presence there as we meet in this auditorium and just call on you for a while. Spend some time with you. Will you please give us that mindset even tonight as we talk a little bit about this important matter. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Now, you know, when the Bible was given to men, there were no chapter and verse divisions. That blessing came along sometime later. And I say blessing because I mean it. It is a blessing to have chapter and verse divisions in our Bibles. It would be very difficult for you just to find some place in Isaiah that says, comfort ye, my people. So we have chapter 40 and we have verse 1, and that's a help. Now, I make that note because verse 1 of chapter 4 really belongs with the verses that are in chapter number 3. Chapter 3 of Colossians is a companion passage to Ephesians 5 and 6. I know I've mentioned it from the pulpit. You've probably heard it from other people somewhere else. Chapters 5 and 6 of Ephesians list the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It begins with verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it lists the results of being filled with the Spirit. There's singing and thanksgiving and submission. Those are the three results of being filled with the Spirit that are mentioned in chapters 5 and 6 of Ephesians. When you get to Colossians chapter 3, you have the results of being filled with the Word of God. Look at verse 16. You have your Bible there. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then it goes on to list the results of being filled with the Word of God. There's singing. You see that in verse number 16. And you see thanksgiving in verse number 17. And then in verse number 18, it talks about the matter of submission. And it goes all the way down through, really, chapter 4, verse number 1. So it's interesting that the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit are the same as being filled with the Word of God. And that's understandable because the Spirit of God will never work in contradiction to the Word of God. The Spirit of God will always work in concert with the Word of God. Never in contradiction. And so to be filled with the Spirit of God is the same thing as to be filled with the Word of God. The results are the same. So really, chapter 4, verse 1 kind of fits in chapter 3. Then, as is often the case in Paul's letters, when he comes to the end of a particular letter, like he does in chapter 4 here, God has him address some general expectations of dedicated Christians. You'll find this in the book of Romans, chapter 15. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. You'll find it in the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, particularly over in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, where you have all those things about Brethren, pray for us. And in everything, give thanks. And pray without ceasing. And all those verses. And here the same thing is true in Colossians chapter 4. Paul comes to the subject of prayer in verse number 2. He says, continue in prayer. So he addresses the need for the church to continue in prayer. The church at Colossae, in its day, was much like Faith Baptist Church in our day. I'm sure the Colossae Church, Colossians Church, had strengths and had weaknesses, like Faith Baptist Church has strengths and has weaknesses. And they had a ministry of outreach, like our church has a ministry of outreach. They had a ministry of Bible teaching and preaching, like ours does. I would say that in some cases, maybe the churches were very similar. The church in Colossae had an underlying need of prayer. Underlying need of prayer. Now, I'm sure they had other needs. Maybe they were in need of more finances, more financial income. Maybe they could have used a better building. Maybe they could have used nicer seats to sit on. Maybe they had other needs. We don't know about that. But their underlying need was prayer. Can I say to us tonight, folks, that's true about our church tonight. Our underlying need is prayer. I've said it before and I'll say it again tonight. I am glad we have prayer time on Wednesday night. It's called prayer meeting. It's what they called it in the old days. Prayer meeting. And the truth of the matter is, when they got together back in the old days, they didn't even get together for Bible study. They got together for prayer. And then the desire for Bible study grew out of that, so they started tacking on Bible study. But really, the Wednesday night service was a prayer service. That's what it was for. And I'm glad our church just stops for a few minutes. We don't take long. But I'm glad we stop for a few minutes on Wednesday night, and we have the opportunity to kneel together as a church family and pray for needs that are pressing. I'll say again, it'll be very important to you when your name or your loved one's name has been called out on Wednesday night. Be vitally important to you. Vitally important. So I'm glad we do that. The underlying need of any church is prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, when the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, when the church had its coming out, so to speak, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. So here in Colossians, we see the command, the exhortation, continue in prayer. In the book of Acts, we see that they continued steadfastly in prayer. Do we see a theme repeated here? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I mentioned a minute ago, and verse number 17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, he said this incredible verse, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Those are four different types of prayer. Supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, that's what Paul said, first of all. First of all. Now, we might put something else first of all, but I would submit to us that it's probably smart to put first what the Bible says to put first. Paul is writing to a pastor, to Timothy, the church of Ephesus, and he said, Timothy, first of all, make prayer a priority in the church. So, prayer for an individual, prayer for a family, prayer for a church is vitally important. So Paul said, continue in prayer. But then, wait a minute, he took the idea of prayer a step further. Look at the same verse, continue in prayer, comma, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So he takes this matter of continuing in prayer a step further, and he says, and watch in the same. Watch in prayer. Now, what does the word watch mean? The word watch means to keep awake. That's what it means. It means to be vigilant, to be watchful. You men that served in the military, the men that are in a platoon or in a, and I'm not good with military terms because I didn't serve squadron. I don't know if that's too big a term. But if you're in a platoon or a squadron and you're in enemy territory or you're near the front lines in battle, you're going to have to take a watch. Every couple, I put two men on patrol, put two men on watch. the time that they could be sleeping, they are awake. Instead, they're walking around the perimeter and they're staying vigilant. They're staying on guard. And then two guys come and relieve those guys. And those guys who could be sleeping are not. They're giving up their sleep to watch and to keep their eyes open and to be awake to provide protection for their fellow soldiers. There are times when it is helpful, yes, even needful, for us as a church to watch and pray. Now, watch and pray, as I said in the bulletin this morning, I believe, does not mean to pray with your eyes open. Although, if you pray while you're driving, please keep your eyes open. Amen. To suggest that you not bow your head while you're driving down the road. All right? It does not mean to watch and look around while you pray. It does mean, once in a while, be willing to give up a few hours sleep in order And when it says continue in prayer and watch in the same, he's saying every now and again, it's needful for you to give up a few hours sleep to concentrate on this matter of prayer. It falls in the same category as fasting. Giving up the physical that is good and normal and there's nothing wrong with it in order to concentrate on the spiritual, and specifically through the opportunity that we know as prayer. Fasting, it means to go without food. Jesus fasted when he was on earth. He fasted for 40 days, you know that, 40 days and for 40 nights. And he spent those 40 days and 40 nights in prayer to his Father. You remember when he came off the Mount of Transfiguration, and while he was up there with Peter, James, and John, that poor dad brought that lunatic son possessed by devils to the disciples at the bottom of the hill. And they said, we got to have help for the dad said, we got to have help for my son. And the disciples couldn't do anything to help him. And then Jesus said, bring the boy to me. And I think, if I've got my story right, I may be merging two stories together. But I think as the boy came toward Jesus, the Spirit tore him and he fell on the ground. He foamed at the mouth and wallowed around in convulsions because the devil spirit had possessed his body. Poor little thing. And that may not be the same exact story, but Jesus cast the devil out. And the boy was healed. And then the disciples came to him afterwards and said, why couldn't we do that? Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There are some things that you and I need to see happen that are only going to come as a result of fasting and prayer. This kind. It means to go without food and give yourself to prayer. Watching is like that. Watching means we go without sleep. Jesus did that on occasion during his public ministry. As the Bible says, he spent all night in prayer to God. Now, he gave up hours of sleep. Obviously, there has to be a time when you eat. And obviously, there has to be a time when you sleep. And evidently, our bodies need more sleep and rest than they do food, because you sleep, you don't eat for 5 or 6. Well, let me rephrase that. Everybody but teenage boys don't eat for 5 or 6 hours, all right? But teenage boys, when you add up the accumulative time in a day eating, you know, all three meals and snacks before and after every meal, it may get up to 5 hours when they're done at the end of the day. But, you know, you don't eat for 4 or 5 hours. You gather around the table. And is it this way at your house? It bothers me that we eat so fast. I think, my goodness, it just seems like when I was a kid, we took our time. Of course, everything in the South moves a little slower. And I don't know, but it seems like we eat so fast. I feel bad for my wife. She labors and she toils in the kitchen, you ladies, and you put a good meal on the table. Whoosh, it's gone. And then it's time to wash dishes after you've labored and toiled. And I think to myself, good night. But anyway, you know, you don't sleep. You sleep for 5, 6, in some cases 7 hours a night. So evidently our bodies need more sleep and rest than they do food. Only eat for just a little while. And sleep for 5 or 6 or 7 hours a night. Now, the common denominator is prayer. That's the common denominator. Go without food to give yourself to prayer. Go without sleep occasionally to give yourself to prayer. I got a phone call from a fellow this week. I was headed out to Jay Rigney's memorial service, and I was headed to the visitation. And the phone rang, and it was a number I didn't recognize, so I answered it anyway. And And because I know Travis DeVries is trying to, he's called a couple times. And I don't recognize his number, so I answered it. I thought it might be Travis. And so, but it was a brother, an assistant pastor at a church somewhere, and he called to get some advice about a certain matter. And he said, brother, I spent in the last month a couple nights in prayer about this thing. I've given up my sleep, and he sounded like it. Sounded like he just recently did it. Sounded tired. Giving up a night of sleep in order to concentrate on prayer needs. Now, this Friday, we have our second and last all-night prayer meeting scheduled. This, and by the way, this message tonight is not intended to put pressure on the men to be here. If you don't want to come, not everybody can come. I know that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm ashamed that I was here almost 20 years before we had our first one back in March. I'm ashamed of that because I think it was beneficial and helpful. And I think it was wonderful. And I think God gave us some light last year ago, September, October, when I was down at that meeting, and the light came on as to how we could do it, to organize and to structure the thing. And I think God gave us some help. But I'm ashamed. And it took me almost 20 years to schedule a prayer meeting where we pray through the night. Ashamed of it. And this is no pressure. If you can't come, you can't come. This is to explain why we are doing it. We can't do it all the time, but we certainly can do it some. And you know what? It may be that you at home, once in a while, need to sacrifice a couple hours sleep to really try to get a hold of God in the matter of prayer. That's what watch and pray means. It doesn't mean look around while you pray. It means give up a couple hours sleep. Watch and pray. Now, let me give you some things now, just two or three things about why it is good. Number one, why is it good to watch and pray? Well, number one, it opens doors of outreach. It opens doors of outreach. Look in verse number 3. Look what Paul said. After he told them to watch in the same with thanksgiving, he said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul said, pray. When you watch and pray, church, pray that God will give me a door of utterance. Pray that He'll help me to speak the mysteries of Christ plainly as I ought to speak. Now, people, listen. I believe if we are serious about reaching our community for Christ, if we're really hungry to see people saved, I believe watching and praying would be a good way for us to help see that happen. If there's ever been a day when we need the Holy Spirit's work on hearts out to soften hearts and prepare people for the gospel witness, it's today. It's today. There's so much hardness. So much hardness. And if you knock doors, if you talk to people at all, you know the difference in talking to a heart the Holy Spirit has not worked on and talking to a heart the Holy Spirit has worked on. Like talking to a concrete wall as opposed to a piece of clay. The Spirit of God softens the heart. We will pray to that end during one of our sessions on this Friday night. We will ask God to once again bless the fall outreach and the emphasis on door knocking, and ask God to work on the hearts of the people in our community. Oh, my soul, folks, people are lost. I mean, so confused and lost in this world. Hearts as hard as an adamant stone. I don't care how hard I preach or how hard you may teach a lesson. If the Holy Ghost of God doesn't soften the heart, it's not going to happen. And this is what we pray for. This is why it's good to have an all-night prayer meeting. I mentioned I would talk about the desert storm tonight. Think about desert storm. I think, brother, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, all right, back in 91, all right, the air war started for us on January 16th at about 6 p.m. Central Time. It was already January 17th, 3 a.m. in Iraq. I remember that. It was a Wednesday night. And I remember all of us came to church back in the old building back in 1991. We all came to church, and it was just on our minds because the air war started just an hour before church started. And the first thing we did, I'm not even sure we sang an opening song. We might have had an opening song, and then we had all the veterans come to the altar and get on their knees. Some of the men who served in our armed forces led in prayer, and we asked God to bless the armed forces and the men and women who were in battle at that moment over in the Middle East. I remember that like it was yesterday. Now listen very carefully. That was on January the 17th. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, Iraq time, the United States of America opened its air war on Saddam Hussein and his army. Now listen to this. On February 23rd, the ground war began. That's 36 days. 36 days, Brother Maiden. 36 days of airplanes and helicopters, Apache attack helicopters. 36 days. I don't know if those things flew off ships out in the Gulf from Air Force bases in other parts of the country, the world. 36 days. Those Iraqi soldiers were all hunkered in their, those foxholes and I can't think of the word right now. The bunkers and everything in the ground. But for 36 days, I remember going home, hooking up an aerial antenna to an old television set that we had in those days, and watching on Channel 5 or Channel 7, watching the technology we had never seen before, and those planes dropping bombs and going down smokestacks. That's wild. Those remote-controlled bombs, I guess. 36 days. On February 23rd, the ground war began. And on February 27th, President George Herbert Bush ordered a ceasefire effective midnight Kuwaiti time because the battle was over. 4 days after the ground war started. 4 days. Adrian, you were there. You could tell us. After 36 days of pounding the Iraqis into submission, when our forces finally went in on foot, they poured out of those bunkers, waving their white flags in surrender. Because for 36 days, the United States of America and its allies had pounded that country from the air, their factories and their fields and the places where their munitions were stored and so forth. I mean, for 36 days, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when the ground soldiers finally went in on foot, it was, we surrender. What a great picture of what God can do through the opportunity of prayer to cause people to be ready to receive the gospel message. In just a few weeks, September the 19th, we're going to launch our fall program. It's 5 weeks of emphasis on getting out and knocking doors and inviting people to come to church. For 5 weeks, we're going to have that emphasis. But friend, what better time to start now? Yeah, what better time to start than at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning this Friday, this Saturday, on our knees in this auditorium, asking God, Lord, would you please prepare the hearts of people in this area for the gospel outreach? Would you please do that? Folks, look, you understand, when God prepares the heart for a gospel outreach, sometimes we don't even have to knock on their door. Sometimes they call us. And they leave a message on the machine saying, I am dissatisfied with the church I am attending and I need some answers. And now they sit in this church week after week after week after week, one of the most faithful men we got. Nobody knocked on his door. God prepared the heart. This is what I'm talking about. We have the opportunity through watching and praying to open doors of outreach. I think back again to the spring program that we just experienced some weeks ago. 42 different family units visited Faith Baptist Church. Not all of them got saved. Not all of them made decisions for Christ. But 42 different families visited here. And the deaf folks, and I'll meet with a couple of these deaf people and it's amazing how God is working in their hearts. It's amazing. I stepped off the platform at the close of the service this morning to have a talk with the man, Jim, who was here. He's coming at 10 o'clock this Tuesday morning to meet with me in the office, him and another deaf person. And he told Emily with his sign language, he said, I said, tell Pastor, thank you for the sermon. He said, God told me, now I know what I need to do. And God is speaking to their hearts. Folks, they have the same problems. They face the same burdens you and I face. They're people. That all came out of the spring program. I have to believe that came out of us on our knees. Not because of us, because that's what God blesses. That's one of the things that comes out of watching and praying. Open doors of outreach. Now look, this is not just for a church. This may be for you. This may be what you need at your home. It may be that you and your wife or you and your husband need to stay up for an hour when you would normally go to bed and pray for somebody. Pray for wisdom. Because it's like fasting. It's like doing without a meal in order to concentrate on prayer. And it's like giving up an hour of that you could be sleeping to say, God, physically I need the rest, but I feel like spiritually my spiritual need is greater than my physical need tonight. So will you help me? Will you help me? So it opened doors. It opens doors of outreach, number one. That's why we ought to watch and pray. Number two, what does watch and pray do for us? It strengthens our spirits. It strengthens our spirits. Do you remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane? The hour of His arrest, the hour of His trial, the hour of His crucifixion was right very near. It was right there. Remember that? He took Peter, James, and John with Him into the Garden of Gethsemane. He left the other eight fellows on the outskirts. He took Peter, James, and John in there. And He told them, He said, here's what He said. He said, tarry ye here and watch. It was night. It was nighttime. And they were sleeping. But He said, tarry ye here and watch. Keep awake. Stay vigilant and pray. And then the Bible says He went a little further. And He fell on His face. And oh my goodness, the demons of hell in that garden, friend. If we could have been there that night, and if our eyes could have been opened to the unseen world of spirits battling in that garden, I think we'd have seen a great fight, a great warfare going on in that garden. As demon spirits tried to kill Jesus Christ before He got to the cross. And an angel from heaven came and strengthened Him, the Bible said. Peter, James, and John were in the midst of it. They're right there where it's going on. I mean, spiritual warfare, like you can't believe. And Jesus said, tarry ye here and watch. And then He came back. Evidently, He'd been gone for an hour. He came back and the Bible says that He found them sleeping. And He asked them the question. He said, couldest not thou watch one hour? And then He told them, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And then He said this, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. That's what Mark's gospel says. Matthew's gospel says, the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I believe with all my heart, most of us can identify with that assessment. Our spirits agree to, and our spirits aspire to do what ought to be done. And we want to do what is right, and we want to be Christian, and we want to have Christian character, and we want to have that level of dedication and commitment to carry into eternity with us, like I talked about this morning. But oh boy, is the flesh weak. Is the flesh weak? Oh, how weak our flesh is. And that's what Jesus was telling these men. Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour and pray? Don't you understand, fellas? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed, I understand the Spirit is ready. I understand the Spirit is willing. But I also understand your flesh. And your flesh is ultimately horribly weak. Maybe you are battling something in your life that you'd really like to see happen. Your spirit agrees to it and attempts to aspire to it. But you find out your spirit is weak. And the flesh keeps getting the victory over and over and over again. Folks, I believe with all of my heart, don't you believe this? Don't you believe those disciples really meant well in that garden? You know, I find no fault with Peter when he said to the Lord, he said, I find no fault with his spirit when he said, Lord, I'll go with you all the way to death. Isn't that your cry? Isn't that what your spirit says? Isn't that what your heart says? Is that so unbelievable, folks? That's not unbelievable. Nobody in this room would say, well, Jesus, I'm not planning to go with you to the end. Sorry. No. Everybody in this room would say, Lord, I plan to go all the way with you. I plan to stay with you until the very end. I believe Peter was sincere. I believe he really wanted and he desired to stick with Jesus. But Peter's spirit needed energy. His spirit needed power. His spirit needed some charging. This was a serious battle in the midst of that garden with the forces of evil, fighting the forces of good, and Jesus Christ Himself needing the strength of an angel. Peter couldn't afford to be asleep. He needed to be praying and asking God for strength. And if he had, his spirit would have won. Instead, Jesus went away the second time and prayed. Came back and found them asleep. Went away the third time and prayed. Came back and found them resting and said, sleep on. And then it wasn't very many hours later, friend, until Peter was warming his hands by the fire and the little maid or the person said, you're one of them. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you're one of them. No, no, no. Oh, yeah, I saw you with them and your speech gives you away. Blankety blank, I told you. And then that awful sound of that rooster crowing. Oh, help. I feel bad for Peter. I've heard the rooster crow. I've heard the rooster crow. I've wept bitter tears. Failing for the Lord Jesus Christ. With a spirit that wanted to and a spirit that desired to. A spirit that really meant well. But oh, the flesh is so strong. The flesh is so strong. And our spirits need to be strengthened. And friend, one of the ways to enjoy strength in your spirit is to give up an hour of sleep or two just to spend some time with God. Spend some time with God. I believe with all my heart that this is a lot. Most of the folks in this church, probably 90 to 95% of the folks in this church, have the right desires. Sure we do. Oh, our flesh is weak. Let's be honest. Our flesh is weak. So it opens doors of outreach. It strengthens our spirits. I'm talking about watching and praying. This is what we're going to do on Friday night. I don't mean for this message to be pressure. I'm trying to explain it to you. Some guys can't come. I understand that. We don't take note of who's here and who's not here. Well, what's wrong with it? That's not the attitude. That's not the spirit we come to this thing with. Here it is. It's a time for us to get together and try to seek the Lord and ask God's blessing and get our spirits charged. Because I really believe with all of my heart that watching and praying will strengthen the spirit, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Number three. What else will watching and praying do? Number three, it makes miracles possible. Makes miracles possible. Church, do we really believe that our God is still a miracle-working God? We really believe that. That was a good Sunday school lesson this morning. Good Sunday school lesson. I think about that passage over in Acts chapter 12. When Herod, he took James's head off, and boy, the people were excited. That'll show them. He said, oh, you like that? He said, well, I got another guy in jail. We'll just do the same thing to Peter. And the church got frantic, and they'd already lost James, and so they said, we can't lose Peter. And so the Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And you know they were praying at night, because the angel came to Peter there at night while he was asleep. And they were there praying at John Mark's mother's house. Lord, would you please get Peter out? Would you please help Peter to get out? Would you please release Peter? Oh, Lord, we need him. Please help Peter. Please be with him. Please get him out. And that angel, that's one of the more remarkable stories in all the Bible. He was in chains. I love it where he kicked him in the side and said, Peter, get up and put your coat on. I love it. Then he walked out past all those men, walked out through those doors. I mean, unbelievable. Then outside he found himself free. Went to their house, knocked on the door, little Rhoda came, runs back in and says, hey, Peter's here. And everybody says, oh, be quiet. He's in prison. We're praying for him to get out. That's great faith. Amen. Good grief. Don't be so hard on them, though. What a miracle.
I don't know how you teachers, what you said in your Sunday school lesson this morning, talking about that stone of doubt. I told the folks in my class, I would rather ask for a miracle and not get it than not get a miracle because I didn't ask for it. I'd rather ask for a miracle and not get it than not get one because I didn't ask for it. Brother Gellis, we were talking last Sunday night after the service. I think it was last Sunday night after the service. And you told me, you said, we're praying for two miracles right now. Two miracles. Pray on, brother. You got a miracle working God. Pray on. The miraculous can take place. Who knows what God would do if we just trusted Him and sought Him and said, Lord, we believe. Miracles are made possible when we watch and pray. I wish I could remember exactly the name of the family. This is some preacher, and I could not for the life of me recall the name. And it was years ago. And I almost called Brother Brown because I know he told it back when I was at Marion Avenue. And I've told it to you, and I can't remember for the life of me the name of the preacher. And it was some family, I think you folks would know, it was a preacher from years ago. And back in the days when we didn't have all the modern medicine that we have now, and either cholera or influenza, some of those things were going around the country, sweeping through the country, smallpox, I don't know, one of those things. And this guy named Charles, had several children in the family, and he was a teenage boy, and Charles got the influenza, the cholera, the smallpox, whatever was going around. And he just got weaker and weaker and weaker in his bed as he lay there. And finally the doctor came, and the doctor spent several hours one evening there. And about 10 o'clock at night, the doctor looked at the family and told the mom and the dad, said, he won't be alive come morning. He's not going to make it. The doctor took his little black bag and left. And the mother went out into the barn and just began to pray. And she prayed and prayed out in that barn, prayed and prayed, God, would you please heal Charles? God, would you please heal Charles? Would you please raise him up? I know that you can. Would you please, Lord, put him back on his feet? Would you heal him? Would you make him well? Would you please touch him? I mean, just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And along about 5 o'clock in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning, when the sun wasn't even up, but the light began to come in the horizon, she got the sweet assurance in her heart that Charles was going to be well and that God was going to call him to preach. At that same time, in the house, some of the older kids said, tell Dad, Charles drew his last breath. Mama's coming in from the barn. Dad's coming out from the house to go tell Mama that Charles is dead. He meets her on the front porch and says, honey, I'm sorry, Charles is dead. She stomped her little foot and she said, it can't be. God just told me that he was going to be raised up and he was going to make a preacher out of Charles. And she walked in that bedroom and stomped her little foot again and said, Charles, open your eyes and look at me. And Charles opened his eyes. He looked at his mother. He got off that deathbed, got his health back, and became a preacher. And if I could call his last name, some of you would know it. Why do we doubt that? Why do we meet that with such pessimism? Why do we meet that with such cynicism? If I recall rightly, I think our God is the one who spoke everything into existence. If I recall rightly, I believe it was our God who told Moses to hold your rod out over the Red Sea. And when he did, a strong east wind came and blew those waters. If I remember rightly, I think it was our God that took those 300 men with a pitcher and a lamp. The host of Midian fled. Story after story after story of a miraculous working God. There's some things I'd love to see the Lord do here at Faith Baptist Church. There are some things I would love with all of my, I remember back when we built that school building across the way, and I remember asking God, Lord, please, I'd love to see that thing paid for before I turn 70. If you give me life and breath and health, and give me these years, I'd love to have the thing completely debt-free, get to be about 70 years of age, and who knows, 68, 69, someday I've got to turn this thing over to somebody else if God leaves me here. You'll need something better than a 70-year-old pastor, what a 70-year-old pastor can do. I thought, Lord, if I could turn that over to somebody debt-free, I would love that. And you know, then the economic crunch hit. And I haven't said a lot about giving. And we're still prepaying on the principal. We're still ahead on that thing. And that's good. And I appreciate those of you that are still giving to the building fund. God bless you. You haven't heard me say a lot about it. Not in these times. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm convinced with all my heart, our God is still able. He's not in an economic crunch. I don't know how He would do it. It'd be a miracle. But I believe He's able. And not just monetarily, but spiritually speaking and other things. You know, we have a miracle working God. And they watched and prayed. And that man walked out of that prison. He stayed alive for how many more years? Wrote those two great epistles. Huh? Watch and pray. Now, like I said, we're going to do that this Friday night here at the church. It opens doors of outreach. It strengthens our spirits, and it makes miracles possible. But friend, you don't have to be in a church setting to watch and pray. And you know what? If you're really, really struggling with something, if you really, really need God some big way, you know what? It may be one of this kind where you have to say, Lord, I should be asleep right now. It's 11 o'clock. It's 11:30, but purposely I'm staying awake to just be with You and talk to You and say, I need You. Watch and pray. And if you can join us Friday night, fellas, come on and join us. If you can't, there's no pressure. I just want you to know why we're going to do it. And I'm ashamed that it took me almost 20 years to do it. I'm ashamed. Kind of seems like to me that that would be something that a church would just have occasionally all through its existence. Watch and pray. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank You for listening tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, You'd please help us. Lord, these are tough days, but God, they're good days. And Lord, You have the victory, and we're on the winning side. And You've given us what we need to enjoy victory here and, of course, throughout eternity. God, I pray that You'll help us be people every now and again that will watch and pray. Maybe we need to give up a half hour or an hour's sleep. At a time when we would normally pillow our head, instead of pillowing our head, be on our knees or walking in our den or our living room or our family room or outside and looking up to heaven praying, oh God, help us. Lord, please give us grace. God, we don't want to just have a prayer meeting to say, oh, we had an all-night prayer meeting. We want to have a prayer meeting, God, because You told us to continue in prayer, watching the same. Bless the people. Some have great needs. Lord, some needs are work-related. Some needs are financial. Some needs are just Christian victory needs. Bless the people tonight. Thank You that You're still a miracle-working God. Give us a burden to watch and pray. I ask You in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You want to come tonight?